migrants in Ireland. Hello there, and welcome back to Migrants in Ireland. Today I have an interview for you with Lucky Kambule, a South African citizen who is here in Ireland and who is residing in a direct provision centre at the moment. And it's a really very interesting interview. Have a listen. It's all about direct provision and what should be done about it.
My name is Lucky Kambule. I come from South Africa. I came in Ireland in 2013. Mm-hmm. I live in a direct provision. I came here and I seek for asylum due to the problems that I had at home back then.
Yeah.
So I had to leave for me to be still living at the moment. That's all I can say about that one. In Ireland, I'm in a direct provision center, which is centers whereby the asylum seekers are housed for the duration of their application. Since I've been in Ireland, I've noticed a complete difference in the way people are treated, taking into account the background where I come from. I grew in the experience of apartheid, whereby the blacks, for being black, were discriminated and isolated from the rest of the country. So you were actually a stranger in your own country. So when I come here and I look into this direct provision and the whole asylum process, I look into how the centers are placed. Then I say the idea of the system is that people are separated from society so that they don't mingle and get to know the culture and grow within the society. So there is a complete strategy to exclude the migrants or the asylum seekers from the rest of the people. And also the fact that these applications also take too long is the way the system is designed, so that people must lose hope, must lose their identity, must lose their dignity while they are waiting and become useless. So that's how I personally view this system of direct provision. It's something that when I looked at it, I said, people were saying, I've been in the system for 5 years, I've been in the system for 7 years, I've been in the system for 10 years. And to me, it didn't really make sense. How can a first world government be so inefficient in dealing with applications so long? What is it that it can take so long? Even if the case is not even on high court, but it takes that long. I looked at it, I said, there's no reason to be groaning and moaning about it. Something needs to be done about it to create the awareness, because what I also realized was that the general public within Ireland, in all counties, really didn't know about direct provision itself, and let alone the life in direct provision. When you look into the life in direct provision, you will find that people are squashed, overcrowded. The meals are the lowest grades of meals. There's a lot of depression. People are scared because they are on deportation orders. They are scared to speak up, even when they see that something is wrong. They fear that they will be either deported or probably transferred to a different county and change. And that was the norm anyway.
There's just been a lot in the news about children in direct provision and the vulnerable position they have, and how some of them are really in danger of adults. Is that something you noticed?
Yes, yes. There have been a lot of research that has been done and a lot of reports about the children. But a person that is reading the report will just read the report and see what it is. But if you are really at the center and you see the children that are growing there, those children do not deserve to grow in those environments. They don't deserve for so long. There are children that are celebrating their 10 years having been born in direct provision. And the damage that is being done on those children will not be visible now, but in the near future, when a normal person is supposed to have grown to a certain level, when the person cannot develop to the normal development a normal child would be expected to, and when you go back, you will trace it back to the way that child was nurtured during the time in direct provision.
And I find it surprising that some of these children are so incredibly polite and well-behaved, and some of the parents deserve a lot of credit as well, I think.
Yes. I always say to the parents, you have done a great job, really, in raising those children under these conditions, whereby you are also frustrated, but you, at the same time, you must not show that frustration and take that frustration to the children. But the child, I mean, the parent is able, you know, to still parent that child, even though the environment is not conducive for that. And the child has, I mean, the parent has got no control over what she or he can do to the child, to educate, to the simple thing. If the mother has a daughter, daughters follow their mothers in terms of when it's come to cooking. If the mother cooks, the daughter learns from the mother while cooking. Simple thing, peeling. The mother is preparing, the daughter is peeling potatoes, cutting tomatoes. That is part of, you know, it's a simple thing, but it is important in the growth, in making that baby child, that daughter, a woman one day. If you have not seen somebody doing this, how are you going to do it for your husband when you get to marry at one stage?
These children, how do they see growing up in Ireland?
Anger.
Yeah.
The children are angry. You ask any child, the first thing that she wants to know, when is she getting the paper? They know what the situation is. They want also to be free. And they are angry. The children are angry with this whole setup. And you can see it, sometimes it's visible when maybe one of a family is about to move, having been granted residency. You can see from the children that are going and those that are being left behind. You see tears from the even though that the child knows that he's going to be free now, but there is that reluctance. He doesn't know what's going to happen to leave their friends, which he has lived with for so many years, to leave them behind. So it's a big, big shift to them.
And is there any help available for people who get their papers now?
There is no help.
Nothing.
Whatsoever.
So even after 10 years being institutionalized, or for children who've never been outside, there's no help.
There is no help. Mm-hmm. The minute a person receives a letter that he has been granted residency, you are on your own. You have to know on your own which office you must go to, what kind of house that you must look for. Mind you, when you receive that, you don't have money, you only have that 19 euro, and you still have to go and look for the house, take transport, go there, go and view. Sometimes it takes up to six months. There's a lady that just got a house a month ago, who was granted residence in October last year. She couldn't get a house. She had 4 kids. So basically, you are on your own. There is no structure, there is no help whatsoever. Even when you get to the social office, you find out you're going to go to this office and you get somebody there. He will refer you to another office. When you get to that office, the other person says, why did they send you to this office? So you go back to that office again. It's frustration over time and again. It is that a reality that is.
And so there's no real integration either. There's nothing done to integrate people in society.
No, there's absolutely nothing. That has been neglected for a long time, and nothing is being done about it. It's up to us that are still in the system to think about these things and find ways to properly integrate people to society, so that that society that is built is society which people would want to be in the near future.
Because I think there's a lot of ignorance amongst the Irish people, and it's not their fault. I mean, they don't know that, first of all, as you say, they don't know direct provision exists, a lot of them.
Yes.
And then they see these people move into town and they don't know them and they're scared a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a better way?
The only way, actually, is to close the centers. Is to close the centers and allow people to integrate and stop this locking of people for so many years, and don't let them see the real world out there. People normally say, when you get out, it's a different story. You got bills to pay here. You don't have anything to do and all that. Yes, it's because the law or the system is such that you are not allowed to do so. If you are allowed from the very first time you came here, that you are allowed to integrate, you are allowed to work, you are allowed to study, you wouldn't be sitting, sleeping, eating every day. And when it comes to, you are grilled to be lazy. People are grilled to be lazy. And it's not people's fault. You can't expect a person. We've got a recreation room where people play pool. It's sad to see grown-ups 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock already in the morning be busy playing pool.
Playing pool.
Normal people, healthy, playing pool because they don't have anywhere to go, nothing to do. Not because it's their fault, but it's the system that says you must be here and that's it. So the only way for this, for people to integrate, is to stop this, to end all these direct provision thing, close centers. People talk about houses. Let those problems be addressed. You cannot keep on saying problem about houses, but there's land in this land. There is land. People need to focus on housing. The government need to focus on developing houses. They have neglected housing. The crisis did not start now. It started a long time ago, but they ignored it. It's about time they start looking into what do we do in order to have more houses in this land. Every county has got a problem. It's not now. It's a lack of vision from the people, from the politicians or whoever that is in power, to see there will be a problem in 30 years about houses. Let's deal with it now. But now, they are still not dealing with it. They are still pointing fingers that there is a problem with this. But there is land. There are houses that are dilapidated, abandoned. Nobody knows who the owners are. And people still, there's a question of homelessness in this country. But there are homes. It's all the officials.
As a South African now, do you look at your country in a different way as well, being away from it, you know, and living in this position now in direct provision and all the problems that it takes? Do you think about your time back and think a bit differently about your own country? Or has it taught you to handle this a bit more, because you're quite involved in protests?
Yeah, well, it always helps to look at things
From a distance,
you get a different perspective when you are not inside. You are not there. South Africa is a great country. It's got its problem. Poverty is a problem there. When you are inside, the better part of South Africa is poor. Actually, is poor. The masses are still poor. The voters are still poor. And those are the challenges, big time. And you are talking about me being involved in protests. Yeah, it's not that people protest for the sake of protesting. They protest because there is something that is not going according to the will of the people, and people take a blind eye and be ignorant about things. And it's about creating that awareness that this is wrong. And you can still address these issues. There are issues within the asylum system that we are addressing. We addressed the issues locally last year within our center to say the only way for you to address issues, get yourselves organized and pinpoint ABC, this is wrong.
And I think you learned that from your past as well. I think South Africans seem to be very good at protesting, at telling people what they think. And I think it's fantastic.
Yes.
It's something the world could learn from you.
It is.
It's doing it in a peaceful way and in an intelligent way, not going and destroying places.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all about being objective, and it's not about violence. We don't believe in violence. As South Africans, we don't believe in violence. We learned our lessons. Apartheid taught us to be patient. Apartheid taught us to address. If we said we accepted apartheid the way it was, we wouldn't be where we are. We said no to apartheid. We tried to fight apartheid with force. It couldn't work because the power was with the creators of apartheid. You couldn't overpower them forcefully. So that taught us to be patient. That taught us to use our minds in dealing things and look into the weaknesses of the system and then attack the system. It's all about negotiating and strike a balance between the wrong and right. And that is what the world is supposed to do. Only peace can bring peace. If you do things peacefully, you will achieve peace. So that is what the world is supposed to be doing, just across the board. Not even in what we are doing now in terms of the small things that we're doing in our hostels.
What if you get your papers now? Or there might be an agreement between South Africa and Europe coming up, I believe, in the European Union. Something is brewing there, isn't it?
Yes. I heard that there are negotiations that are currently on with regard to the EU and South Africa. So it's something positive. It's something we think it is positive, and the fact that the officials have initiated that, they see similarities that they can do business with the people of South Africa.
Yeah. And what will you do once you get your papers? Have you got any plans yet or hopes?
I won't stop doing what I'm doing in terms of being in the struggle, whether I'm in or I'm out, because there is a big gap out there. The people that also have paper, they still are struggling out there because of the things that they did not look or foresee while they were waiting. So it's not about waiting, but it's about creating an environment that will be conducive even when you are out there for the people that are for the next generation. It's not about focusing on the individual, but it's focusing on the whole approach must be for everybody. Everybody should be able to do what he thinks is right, to have a proper family, to have a proper education, and contribute positively to society and pay taxes.
What a great guy. That was Lucky Kambule, a very courageous man and very, very passionate about this subject. And we wish him all the best, and hopefully these things will be solved in the near future and we can see the end of direct provision and people just living in society and working and feeling normal as the rest of us. Next week I will come back with a French lady, Lola, and I have a good few people lined up. But if you would like to take part in this and if you would like to tell your own story, please do get in touch with me. You can go to Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's Migrants in Ireland. And leave me a message there. Hopefully you come back to us next week. Bye.